We closed enough?
Yeah, that's good.
Hold the trash for the mic.
It'll pick up anything in the room, practically. There.
Right there?
Yeah, that's good right there. Huh? Pick up either you or Chris.
What are you going to say, Chris? Shoot it, then.
No, that's all right, Fez. Just as if we were visiting. You don't have to worry.
How you feeling, Fez?
Oh, fine. How you been?
Good.
Glad to see you. You're
coming. How long since you saw one another? Not so long ago.
How long had it been? And the night you were the hangover for?
About 4 years ago.
4 years. Well, you been well ever since?
Oh, yeah, been well, but on the last past summer, some high blood pressure. Now I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, you're looking all right, boy.
Thank you.
And how long
you're really looking fine.
Thanks.
Can you remember the first time you all played together? About when it was or where?
Tom Anderson. Was it Tom Anderson? Right across from 25.
Tom Anderson? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we played several places.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's the first time I can recall.
Oh, the
right
first time?
Yeah, about the first time you ever played.
Oh, yeah.
And what was the next? You remember? Can you recall, Fess?
Depends on you a lot, now.
Well, then you were playing single then for a long time.
Yeah.
Storyville.
Yeah.
I think the next time is when you came to Los Angeles in 1919, wasn't it?
1919, yeah.
You all worked together at the Pete Lawless Dance Hall, didn't you?
Well,
I worked at Pete Lawless.
I worked at Pete.
And you played there?
I never played for Pete Lawless, no.
He had a better job than Pete Lawless' job, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
What about that? You know, when you played violin there with Oliver, was Kidori in the band then?
It was Ori and Oliver's jazz band.
I was
leading the band.
Yeah, it was my band. I just, the way it happened that Oliver used to come around where we played at Lincoln Park and St. Catherine Hall and various places. He went working. So he said, well, why don't you give him a chance sometime? I said, well, when you get good enough. He said, well, I'm trying. I said, okay. So finally, Papa would drop out. You know, he had to do a day job, he couldn't do the job. And I told him it was best for him to try to hold one job. If he wanted the other job, I'll have to get someone else, so I'll take Oliver. And how it happened that Oliver got in and got his name in the band because he had a friend named Gossoon. You know Gossoon?
Gossoon's running
the
dance.
Yeah, he's a good friend, so Joe called me up and said, have a couple of dates. One out at the lake and one at Economy Hall. He said, Gossoon, I want to know, can you play it for him? I said, sure, I can play it. I said, he knows the price. He said, yeah. So Gossoon put Oliver Nora on his advertising machine, and we started it.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was saying, Kid Ory featuring King Oliver tonight. So he just volunteered and put Oliver's name with mine, you know.
That's correct.
So I didn't say any more about it. And
was Oliver about the same age as you, or was he a little older?
Well, he's older.
Joe was
older. Oh, yeah.
Because Joe was too old for the number one war.
Is that right?
Joe Oliver, Bob Lyons, Lorenzo Stahl. Well, Ory's drummer was very happy. He was too young. And well, myself, Ory, and Johnny Dodge.
Yeah. Was you called in the next draft? I mean, next call? I was supposed to go in the next one.
I was calling the first.
They had me working in a shipyard, the boy. I was so happy, I just said, everyone knock off, everything's okay, no more work. Boy, I jumped on top of the streetcar.
Yes, sir. You want me to talk?
Yeah.
You want me to talk?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want me to tell direct?
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm bending your remembrance back now. Well, on the Monday night, we were playing at the Colony Hall, and Ori and Johnny Dots, they was looking for that paper, you know. They was worried about that paper, and I'm the first one got the paper. I got the paper on the Monday morning. Well, at night, I went to the hall. Johnny was ready. And Johnny Dots was playing. And God soon didn't know what Johnny Dots was playing. Johnny Dots was playing like a drunken fellow. Worried. What's the matter up there? What's the matter? So, following Tuesday, you see, we would play for Mayor Boyman back to Dixie Bury.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
I was playing the band. Well, I said, not to.
Free beer.
Be in the band, but already. Well, I signed up, go play there. So, following Tuesday, I goes around the secretary of the mayor, Mike Rooney. He said, "Oh, Mr. Mike." I said, "I got that." He said, "Oh, don't worry about that. We're going to have your nice recommendation." And says, "You'll be better off over in Camp Pike. You go over there and you organize your band." Said, "Any other boys in the band? All right." I said, "Yeah, but I was single, me." I said, "Yeah," I said. "Drummer's playing, he's mine, the clarinet player's mine." Well, tell the boys going back to their wives. The guy was running wild, you know. It was running wild, you know. Neglecting home last summer. Remember?
Yeah.
Well, they made up with their wives. I saved them.
Took it to be exempt, yeah.
I saved them. Well, all right, I goes. Of course, I was out there. 8 months, an awesome sign. I had 8 furloughs.
Pretty good, yeah. Went home every time.
Every month.
Where was your station at the time?
At Little Rock, Camp Pike, Arkansas.
Yeah.
I'd organize a 10-piece orchestra. Called the Receiving Station Jazz Band.
Well, you had to piss off.
And I hired my trumpet out there, but my release was cornet. I had Frank Holton cornet and my violin. Well, when I got out there, they had a band of about 3 or 4 pieces was organized. I'm speaking or you speaking?
That's all right, go ahead. Finish the story.
Yeah.
Anyway, ask Mr. Orson.
Well, after I got the extra recommendation, though, I had 2 of the boys from Bomb Bell and Circus, 2 trumpet players. And of course, they played circus style. We had a rehearsal, and I learned of fellas being out there in the camp at Georgia Boyd. I go and get George, tell Lieutenant, I go and get George Boyd. I got Walter Preston. You remember Walter Preston used to play banjo
with
Crisco?
Yes, I do.
Got him. And I went for Yank. All right, Yank came around to the place. Because Lieutenant Fleming, he's from New York. He run the cabaret. He's the number one professional violinist. And he had a lot of brand new orchestration. Well, Yank comes. We had a little fella substituting there. He a fella, I tell you, remind me of Ori. Name was Willie Gaskin. He remind me of Ori so much.
What instrument he played?
He played trombone.
Trombone.
But he's slow on it, you know. And of course, I was trying to get Yank in there. Because being from home, it's a Yank. He walked off, got cold feet. He went over to his company. So I just had to make out with that boy. And I had on drums, little fella used to be around Padre Street, a piano player, called him Tommy Jackson. Maybe you're not remembering
now.
He was out there, he was drafted from Greenville. And he had a lot of ideas on drums. Well, taking him. And went out in town and got a little polluted and got on the rock pile. Well, I had another boy in the camp in the first half drum, called him Baby Lovett.
Oh, yeah,
maybe. He's from Alexandria. So I take Baby in the band. Well, I had my band, I had 10-piece orchestra. And I had to show him how we played. I'd take the trumpet, play Panama and all them numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just give them circus boys a swing. Got them down, it wasn't pretty good.
You never did have to go in the army then,
Well, no. Well, he was married and went made up again.
I was married, but I was called for the next batch was supposed to leave, you know.
Then it was too late to...
Too late,
yeah.
I was standing right just on top of the street because it was so crowded, you know. I had to get back home.
So when I came back to town, Joe had went to Chicago. Well, in 1917, Lewis was just playing three numbers.
That's right.
Playing y'all in the blues. He made a number called Wine and Grind. He named them. And,
Sister Kid,
take your finger out of Kitty's head.
Man, get off of Kitty's head.
And, of course, Joe Oliver and, Clarence Williams, A.J. Piron, take the number, went to New York and had it published as Sister Kid.
No, I'm my mama's baby boy.
Huh?
I'm my mama's baby boy. I've never seen the music. I've been trying to find it, but I can't find it no place.
What,
Sister Kate. Wasn't it Sister Kate?
No, Sister Kate was Take Your Finger Out of Kitty's Head.
Yeah.
And they named it If I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
Piron,
right.
And
yeah.
Clarence Williams.
That's
they
right.
Published that other thing. With
but
the Wine
and Grind was sung about Mama Driven. They named it different up there in Chicago.
Oh, I was wondering about Mutt. Was Mutt ever in the Army? He'd go in the army, do you think?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, and I was interested before when you said he was older than you, Story.
Yeah.
Mutt was...
I think he missed, he just skipped us.
Yeah, I never did know his age. What was your birth date? If you don't mind giving it, then we'll have it straight on here.
My birthday? Mm-hmm. Christmas Day, December 25th. I'm born 1886.
1886.
That's right. 4 o'clock in the morning.
That was up in La Place. How do you pronounce that?
Well, La Place.
La Place, that's what I say.
The French settlement, you know.
Yeah. St. John's?
St. John Parish. And next parish is St. James. Wilman Brodlett was born in St. James Parish.
Did Pops Foster come from, no, he came from Plaquemine.
Plaquemine, Louisiana?
I'm not sure. He wasn't up in your neighborhood, was he? Pops
no.
He didn't come from that part of the country.
No.
I don't know where that was.
Well, then, proceeding on.
Yeah.
When I came back, Pete Lala had opened up a kind of show on Claiborne Street. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Lou was stepped up and was playing with the band. He had taken a list of the band. And it was a cold night. On a Sunday night, I went there to see the band. Lewis was up in there with a straw hat on, freezing. Had his mute.
So who was that?
Lewis.
Armstrong.
Lewis, you remember when Joe went away?
Well, yeah, I taken him with me as soon as Joe left.
Right.
He was working with me at Pete Lawler. Pete Lawler and I would run the place together.
That wasn't the place on the ray, that was on Claiborne, wasn't it?
Claiborne ran between Conti and St. Louis, but near St. Louis. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hired Louis before Joe left.
That's what I'm saying, I come back, I find Louis.
Well, that's what he's playing with me then. And I left there and then I started promoting dance at the Economy Hall and the Cooperative Hall. Yeah. And Pete got mad because I didn't cut him in on my dance. He sent about 50 cops around there and they ran all my customers away.
Still the same.
So well, I packed up and left. Came to Los Angeles.
That's what happened to Jelly right here in this town.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
What?
The cops run his customers away.
Yeah. They didn't do anything, just walk in, so many of them, you know.
Yeah.
Just someone holler raid, and that was it, boom.
Yeah.
And I was doing real fine, too. Yeah, because I was going to cut them in, you know.
Yeah.
This place was too small, it couldn't hold enough people so I could make over nice work, you know. Mm-hmm. For human business, you should make more than a salary, you know.
Yeah, sure, if you're promoting it.
You're promoting, you're going to all the expense and trouble. So then he wanted to cut in on me. I told him no. And he had the power, so he just told him going down there and just writing.
Well, I went back to the band. Joe was in the band. So we play. Had Cooperators around the corner, Sam Morgan.
Yeah. Well, that's the place I promoted Asia, too.
Joe was in love with Larry Mack. And Joe asked to play from 8th. Would he mind? It would be all right if he could go make that little job from 8th to 11th and put... It's called Lewis, it's called him Dipper. Put Dipper in
Dipper
his place. So, all right, I said, you know, all right with me. I said, all right, you go play. So, here come the Monday night. Opposition, Cooperators Hall and Comedy Hall. I had a little Joe at the theater. St. Louis, yeah, we playing up there for Gossoon. I go around there, they had a line up that way and this way. Wouldn't go in the hall. We goes in and started playing. We played and played, not a soul come in the hall. Gossoon, he was walking around. I said, why? He was playing regular enough, you know. Nobody come in the hall. Oh, I'm losing my Cooperators right on the corner there. People outside. Yeah, about 11 o'clock, who come in this little foot there but Joe Oliver. When Joe Oliver come in the hall, it looked like a caravan broke in. The whole hall packed right away. They wouldn't come in the hall. We played the same three tunes. I saw the boy was playing. I was leading the band. It wasn't that over and over, over and over. Not no one had danced. The joke in the whole back up. All it was. So Joe got out. Been holding the gee. Man, it was kicking then. It was kicking like that. Winter Garden was the same way. Remember the Winter Garden? That was the Winter Garden there.
Rather than Rampart?
That's right. That's it. Rather than Rampart. Old four backers.
And you remember the Raiders?
Huh?
Was you there the night the Raiders?
Yeah, sure.
They're taking everyone to jail when they're the same thing with Pete Lawler, you know?
Yeah.
Guy running the roof guard got jealous of all over the place.
Well, it was.
Next block.
Is that during Prohibition already? What they raided for? You
know? No.
It was Prohibition was on then.
Yeah.
Prohibition was on then.
And so they came in, the place was packed and jammed. They just loaded the wagon up, just going after it. And we sitting up on a bandstand. And we said, oh, well, we all right. And one big cop look up there, he said, well, how about the band, Sergeant? He said, run them in. He will have to pay $2.50.
That really break up the competition.
And that's the night Joe Oliver told me, he said, I'm going to leave here. I had an offer to go to Chicago. He had a telegram. I said, you want to leave town? He said, I said, yeah, write this guy. I said, I don't want to go. Right now. And Joe taking the job, and he had Jimmy to go with him. And I went stationed with them, and it was broke, the Ten Commandments. And I said, how you boys sick for your lunch on the train? We haven't got any money. So I give both of them $10 each, Jimmy and Joe.
Was that Jimmy Noon?
Yeah. He was playing with me at the time.
Yeah.
When I got a telegram. And right after we was raided, Joe made up his mind to leave. And I had a telegram, I didn't want to go. So I turned the job over to Joe, and he's taking Jimmy with him.
Now, I'm going to proceed on with you now. Mm-hmm. Me and him was buddies, you know. We'd go out on Mondays, you know, and close Chiore. Got on Mondays, he's drawing card. He said Chiore is everything because we had all the work. Got on Aura said, the horse said, leave this town. I go to California, let it go. And when I take him over, talk to my mom.
Yeah.
Or come out to my house on a Monday, talk to my mother. Come over there about 10 o'clock in the morning. Monday morning, talk, you know, talk French, you know. My mother was sometime well up and down. And when she meet a person who could speak French like that, you know, go and talk with her, talk. I stay there. He didn't at my house that day.
Yeah.
So in the evening comes.
You have a good memory.
See, now let me tell you, let me finish talking. So she come in the back. We had a dinner, getting dressed. She said, oh, he's a nice boy. She said, he's a nice boy. She said, I told him you could go, but when I get sick, you come home. Or I told you, yeah, if you get sick, I come home. All right. We dressed. We come over. He said, well, I let my boy with Gus. Who gonna take? He said, well, it's a Dipper and Johnny Dot. I see Joe Oliver, he had a preference of drumming. And Ora had a preference of drumming. Ora liked it. Joe Lindsay was crazy for him. And Joe Oliver, he liked a little Red Happy. Well, Ora leave him take Red Happy.
Mm-hmm.
He was our drummer then.
Well, Joe wasn't anxious to work then from then on. He wanted to be a gambler, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he ran 25.
But you liked it this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He liked it his drum time. Mm-hmm.
And much easier to get along with, too.
I said, well, all right now. I said, now we got together. Ora get together. Ora get the boys together. If the horse going, horse going. Ora, we get the place, this, that, this now. Ben Mulligan's had the saloon grabbing Grandpa.
That's right.
In the back, had a supper. And it was Prohibition during that time, but Ben Mulligan, a big politician, you know, Paris Street right around the corner, yeah. They blocked. Ben had liquor there just like now. And in the city of Warren. Only that time was he was loud as hell with Virginia Dare. And a little beer. That's all. A little whiskey.
Sweet Lucy.
Yeah. So all the put we had a supper, a long table, waiter, piggy around there. Now they had to swear in. They all got on their knees and swore. Johnny Top and Lewis and Joe Lindsay. One teacher, I said, listen. I said, I didn't tell my oath, I didn't promise them. My mother. You go? I said, yeah, I'm going. I tell you, sir, I'm going. All right. Ori left on that Friday night. They went by the train. I couldn't make it that Friday night to see y'all. Ori goes out, comes out to Los Angeles, and he meets up with a dude called Lee Larkin from Galveston, Texas.
Right.
Colored fella, he had plenty of money. Was out there looking for a place to open. And there was the old Cadillac that had been closed at 5th Central, right across the depot that during that time. They got together, and Lee and I'm going to say something now. You know, when Ori was in town, Los Angeles, well, they had a lot of people from New Orleans. Kid Ori was in town. See? And man, that was enough advertising. They'd tell each other, oh. Well, Ori went out before things were straight on the sporting sprees, you know? Well, that's why I wasn't there then, but it was told to me. And they had this black tan band that had been playing in Dreamland. That time, they'd tell me they was playing there about 27 years, I don't know.
Yeah.
That long, huh?
Yeah. So, all right. One Sunday night, they gets him in there, a little high or something. They got him on a stand, and I don't know, they tell me they stole the vamp on Ori, you know. And tell me, you plop down there, you know, vamp to pick up, you know. Well, I'm saying,
no, they just knocked off there. They didn't even hardly say what it's going
to
play.
Didn't give you a chance to get anything at all.
Well, that's
so what finally, they came right back with Tiger Rag, you know.
Tried to trick you on that first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then, boy, then I knew it was going to play, and it was playing in the right key and the ring.
Yeah.
And that was it.
So, one day, now I got out there then. Now, how it was, Frank Doosan had been out here, and they sent him back by not reading. Here, he done sent the tickets to me on Louis Armstrong and Johnny Dodds and Joe Lindsay. He's expecting. Of course, today, some fellas don't know that till today. I'm sure it happened now. So, I had a ticket. I goes to Johnny Dodds' house. Johnny Dodds, his wife, wouldn't accept me in. How about him going to go? He had told his wife about it, but he had saw the porters at that Porter's Inn on Rampart Street where the porters come in, bum, you know. Johnny Dodds met one of the porters and told the porters, well, he's going to leave, we're going to California. He said, who's going to California? He said, me, Ori, Louis Armstrong, Joe Lindsay, and I'm there. He said, let me tell you, Johnny, says, you better stay here because you're going to go out there and they're going to send you right back like they done Frank Doosan. So what Johnny does, he goes to work and see Louis. at Patina Saratoga, Lewis was living right next to the ballroom. He goes with him and Lewis had a competition over there. I don't know. I goes to his house. He didn't tell me. I noticed coming in a car, Louisiana Avenue car coming down. Now we come from uptown to come see Dipper. Get off at Patina and Rampart, you know. I noticed he was kind of funny. He wouldn't say nothing. I said, "Fine." I said, "Well, what's the doubt? I said, take it, yeah." He wouldn't say nothing. So I'm saying, "I'm going to get the Rampart gets off." We go down there, Lewis, up in the place there, the ballroom there, a fella sitting on a beer box playing the piano, and a fella with a drum, and they had his cornet there. Yeah, go there. Oh, you know how it goes funny. I can't go like, "Ah, yeah, Mr. Horse, Mr. Horse. Come here. I said, "Wine." I said, "Oh, no, come outside. We talk about the wine." The wine.
Like when you mentioned that, you know, things were getting too hot in New Orleans, so to speak, the cops breaking stuff up and everything. What was the attraction in California? I mean, why did California come to your mind rather than some other place outside of New Orleans?
Well,
San Francisco as well as the West Coast, or was it just L.A.? Or?
No, first I was supposed to meet Joe in Chicago and join him, you know. They'll get back together. And I heard about this good climate out here. You see? And I changed my mind and I came to Los Angeles. And when I was here, Joe, I told him I didn't know whether I was going to stay or not, so he wired me a ticket to stayed in the office a whole month. But then still I didn't make up my mind. And by the time I made up my mind that I wasn't going to Chicago, I wrote the manual, and that manual and editor, get the boys together, just as he finished telling you. Then Lee Larkin wanted me to work for him. So we closed the black and tan down just about, couldn't get enough people to pay the expense. Some know. Then I left there and all the boys went back home and I opened Mutt and Bunt and Wade Whaley, wasn't they?
Well, no.
Yeah, you went home.
I'll explain it to you if you want.
No, you.
You're a little wrong.
You left after the Cadillac
closed. I'll tell you how it was. No, I'm going to tell you how it was. I'll proceed to tell you how it was.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, after that back down, I went out, I had the tickets in my pocket. My brother said, "I'm so worried." My brother said, "Well, I'm going to wait a while." I said, "I promised to go out with the boy and I got the tickets." He said, "Well, wait a while." I waited a while. On a Sunday morning, about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, who comes to my house? I live 330 Winella Street then. Not around that now. But Walter Deku. Walter Deku came to my house, chills and fever. Knocked on the door, and my mother went to the door and offered him inside. So it was pretty sick. And she said, "Oh, just tell me to come to the door." She come tell me, I go to the door and she said, "Look, oh." She said,
"She won't bother anything. She won't bother anything. Oh,
listen,
let her
play.
I won't hurt anything."
Okay, all right. Go ahead now.
So, I says, "All right, he used to do favors for me." So I goes out to the bungalow at West End, and who they had out there? Walter Deku. Well, I was playing this place a week. I take the job a week this place. Who they had out there but Mutt Carey, Wade Whaley, and a little fella called Mac Hill stuck a bone in his feet. He died. The drummer out there. Yeah. We gets out there and I went there so glad I came along because Wade used to buy music all the time and Walter Deku didn't read and he just played like he wanted. People liked it and he played that for years. Well, never had nobody to play. Well, I went as well.
And they thought it back to Sacramento, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And with a license of that kind, you can't, after 30 days, cancel. You can't use it, see? So we went back and it hit to the right because we couldn't get ready.
Okay, you're all set to open the new place now.
Yeah, he told me, go ahead, whether I get it or not. We have the number, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask a minute ago about Joe Lindsay. Was he really such a good drummer? He never played in late years, you know, and sort of gave up music.
Nice time.
Nice, very good.
I really liked him, huh?
The best time keeping drummer I ever had, ever played with, was Henry Morton.
I was going to ask you, he'd been your drummer.
Oh boy, guy had an idea. Any number you'd play with any little funny lyrics to it or something that would mean a bird or a rabbit or a rat, anything, he'd get some kind of instrument to imitate it, you know. Fill in, you know. Like a cow, you know.
Good coloration.
Yeah. You know, you had a big a bag full of stuff.
So you want me to keep on that?
And,
well, just one second. I was going to ask if finish up the Henry Morton business. How come he wasn't with you? Did he live long, or was he dead by that time?
He was working in Storyville quite a while with Manuel Perez.
Oh, Perez.
He worked with me when, you know, we was on there. One night, as you see.
Yeah, I wonder why you didn't want to take him to California, too.
No, he had quit playing. He was playing guitar when I left there.
Oh, really?
And he went back to the drum. I was so old, and he couldn't make it.
Yeah.
He just got away from it.
Go ahead, Fess.
So, all right. We started playing that night, playing all them numbers. And you know, Wade had a habit when he'd talk, he always do.
Yes.
Y'all used to call him Busher.
Yeah.
So, all right. He said, you know something? Man, if I had a lineup like this, go to California, Cali, he called it. Cali, we'd clean up. I said, let me tell you, wait, man, right around the corner from my house, begging for a band. Yeah. Oh, man, I said, leave anytime. Yeah? Now I'm playing at Walter's place. All right. Got together. Pop him up here, pop him up. I'm ready. Well, he could spell. Wade could read, right. All right, gets Alfred Williams. After little Mac Hill was playing out there, stuck a bone in his feet and died. They go and get Mac, they asked me who did I like. I told them, well, Alfred Williams kept a good time. He was Sam Morgan, so they goes down. I said, now listen, how you gonna do this boy's band, this boy kid now? I said, I'm just playing at his father and son in my last week with this boy. Wade said, I'll get old man John McCullen to go out and play all but his piano player. Walter's coming back on the job. All right. So everything's all right. On Tuesday, I say, let's pee. Where's the runner? They was fixing the road. We went over on a teepee. Made us a little late.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say nothing to them boys, mutton them, nothing. About Lewis and all them got cold feet. They don't know that. So here we go. We get out there on the train, get to California. What I done, I grabbed my grip and get ahead of them dudes, you know. Where horse at? Where horse? They was way bumping. Where horse? I want to get off first so I could see Ori and explain Ori. So yeah, I get up. Yeah, they was way behind me. Go up, you want to get off, go up the ramp to them? That was Ori. He was up, looking down. I said, all right, don't say nothing until I speak to you. I said, all right. Well, I said, ain't that Papa Mutt? I said, yeah. He looked at me, he see a little black fella come, ain't that Busher? I said, yeah. See another little fella come, ain't that Alfred? Yeah. So, we were right across from the Cadillac. So, I said, don't say nothing until I speak to you. Well, Lord, got cool, of course. We got on the dress roll, Elvis, said, you know something? He said, God sure is good. He said, if them men didn't come. So we started playing, and I always showed the man how we done in New Orleans, make an advertisement. Which houses out in California that time said, two-story houses with gyres on them. Them doors was blocked in with a block. They never sat on their porch just there. Mm-hmm. I had old guy out here was waiting for Leo Locke. Was calling him Chappie Henderson, master ceremony. So Ora explained, get a truck. Oh. We used to have two mules pulling the furniture wagon when we'd advertise. Ora explained, oh, I'll get a truck, all right. Went and got a big old truck, back on the truck. Put the piano in the truck. And Chappie says, I'll know. Ora told him, just go on a good spot, you know. All right. I went to man, a big old house there, had a block headed. People never been on that guy since he's been out there. He's born red, Chappie Henderson. And oh, we got on the corner and strike up brown skin, who you fuck? And then people upstairs come out and bust the door out.
And never heard any music like that on the street.
Well, all right, we made
what
it out
of
time.
What part of town was that
in? Los Angeles.
Now, what part of town?
Right across the Circuit City Depot on 5th Central.
We didn't get to Hollywood, but the news got out there, you know. And the only movie
so,
had to pull it out, you know.
We made the advertisement on that night.
That's where the money was, you know.
On that night, Mr. Jack.
But in fact, there was plenty of money there anyway with everyone.
The place was packed like sardines. The Dreamland right around the corner. Big stockhold building, Dreamland. We played packed like sardines. We play. Month come on a Saturday night, they raid the place. They put everybody in jail, but they look at the band. They want to put us in jail, but the chapter said, oh, no, them boys.
Well, didn't lock you up that time, then?
No.
All right.
Well, that was the other band, didn't they?
That was out of the field, then. Out of the field. All right. Well, out in the field. Well, it's sent back from. Got his permit back in about a month or so. We started again. Started playing again. All right. They read again. That was all. I said, well, now they was in the field then because we was playing jobs. We took that big red truck, go out where the bullfight and all that.
Yeah.
Get together, gigging jobs. So, I got a telegram from my mother. Mother's very sick.
Yeah, the Coliseum, you know.
Very sick.
Well, the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I go to the depot. Here come a train running from Frisco to Los Angeles. Fellow pulled on there named Percy Wright.
Yeah.
Percy Wright from New Orleans.
He just died about a month ago. Ed Garland told us.
Percy
died.
Wright died?
Wasn't it? Wasn't he the one?
No,
that was the bouncer. The bouncer died. Who was the big
Chappie?
Fella?
Oh, you're talking about Zach Williams.
Zach Williams died about a month ago.
Floor Walker. Big Zach.
Yeah,
he bought my home.
You used to work in movies, yeah.
Yeah. Bought my me and him raised up together in our jail. Well, all right. Percy, what are you doing coming out the depot? I said, I'm just coming over and look at the race. He says, well, what's the trouble? I said, well, I said, I shouldn't tell Graham. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I live on St. Pedro Street. He said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. See, we're going to make a trip all the way to El Paso tonight at 11:30. And when you get over there, I'll connect you with Big George Jones running from New Orleans to El Paso. And say, he'll ride you down home. It's all right. When I goes back home, the telephone rang. Then I got home. Telephone who it was, but Ora and the boss of the Dreamland came to sign a contract, and I told y'all I couldn't. You remember the little girl used to come set in the place sometime? I leave her play the piano.
Yeah.
And
I can't recall her name.
Yeah. So y'all hired her that night. Yeah, and
Selma,
yeah.
That's
I
right.
Know.
I don't know her.
The
skinny girl.
Yeah. That's
Mutt's
wife.
Huh?
Is that Mutt's wife or a different girl?
No.
So tell me, Mutt married, he told me he married the girl.
Oh, you're talking about Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
Was she the one played?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Madeline, but the other girl played some too.
Yeah, they had another girl. But this little girl has come all the time to play girl.
Madeline.
The one with Mutt, but he told me he married her.
Yeah, that's right. He never thought about it.
So, I goes and test.
No, that's all right. We're just recording a visit. Don't worry about it.
So I the grand opening that night, so what I does, Poyser say, I goes to Depot and meet him at 7 o'clock. He said, well, we got a lot of time. He says, let's go around. So your band is open to Dreamland night. I said, yeah. He said, let's go around. We went around, it was packing jam. I got a big Zach show to bring me to the bandstand. It was so packed. He was thick with this. He said, get out the way, they all get out the way.
So just say same band, we left them just like they were going
So I plays there with them till about 11 o'clock. Train would leave 11:30. And I plays there with them in the girl's place. And then I left. I left home, went home. That's how I lived. I hadn't saw him no more till I come out here at the Hangover about 4 years ago.
What year was that?
What year was the Hangover?
You mean when you were first out here?
1990. Yeah. Well, it was 1990 when we was out here.
And by the time when we left, when he left, it was 20 then.
Well, I stayed out here. It was only 4 months my mother got sick.
Well, that rag you used to play, 1919, is that named after those days, or what was that rag?
Well, it was old march we used to play, you know. We didn't know the title of it, you know.
Yeah.
No one had the music. And the brass band used to play, you see.
Well, there's no brass band march.
Yeah. So Lou and I got together and started playing this, you know. And we just called it 1990.
Ori told Harry Sutton one day, we stand by the corner, after Ori had went around there and played, me, Mutt, and Laura stand by the pool room. And we come along with Harry Sutton. Oh, boy. So Ori say, a hammer whip big enough to cut my head. You had to get an axe to chop my head off or something. Yeah. So I saw that. He walked off. He said, he had told Lee, well, Lee Locke, well, he used to go around his barber shop and square with him, you know, and wait. He told Lee, he said, well, Lee says, all the band is like Ora, say, you certainly is throwing your money away.
Who said that?
And,
who said that?
Huh? That's what Harry Sutton had told Lee. So, and Lee comes tell Ora that.
Yeah.
So when Ora saw him throwing a gun that day, Ora told his friend, that dude just walked off with about his business. He said
nothing. When did you go to Chicago? How long did you stay out here then?
After 1925, I left.
25.
Yeah.
Did you join Oliver right away? Did you join Kid Oliver when you went to Chicago again?
I worked with Louis. Louis left for, Louis wrote me a letter too, told me he's coming down, he's going to leave Fletcher and he's coming to Chicago to record.
Oh,
he heard I was going to be in Chicago. He would like to have him record with him at the Hot Five, you know. So I recorded with Louis, and Louis got the job at the Dreamland. So we were drawing so well, and Lou asked for more money, you know. Mm-hmm. And the guy in bottom owner, he refused to pay him more money. So Lou said, well, let's not work. I said, okay. So I got a job, go to Dreamland. I said, well, I'll go with Oliver. But still, we still record. And I recorded with 8 bands for 5 years, regular. I've recorded so many numbers, I haven't even heard them, different bands.
Yeah.
I would have recorded more, but I couldn't take it.
Oh, yeah.
And before that, I got a job after the Dreamland closed, working from 8 to 12 at the Municipal Pier in Chicago with Tate's big band.
Oh, 11 Tate.
Yeah. And I worked till 12 o'clock in Dutre, taking sick.
Yeah.
I'm a little ahead of my story there. And I went to the entertainers and worked with Carl Dixon from 1 to 5. And after Dutre got well, then I went with Oliver, that's where it was.
Where was the entertainers, on 35th,
was that? Yeah, 35th, same place at the plantation and...
Long
in Mexican. And what the other name, Joe Glaber used to
run. Sunset.
Sunset, and then Nest was across the street, yeah. So they wanted me to get a band, a recording band together. But I had to sign a contract. I was freelancing, I recorded all the band. And you see,
You first recorded in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I made much as $600 one day.
Recorded. In Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking.
Recorded with two bands. Maureen, he came there with a carload of blues singers. You know. Some could sing, some couldn't. And all the band got tired, but Lil and I, myself.
And you kept going.
They leave and go send a call up a trumpet player or a clarinet player, Johnny Dodson player. They all burnt out. I stayed there and made the money.
Did you record with Ma Rainey once? There was a rumor that you'd made records with Ma Rainey yourself.
Not my band, but I recorded with the group.
You did?
Yeah.
Back of Ma Rainey.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I've never heard the record.
Down in Los Angeles, we were talking about those Nordiskog records. They say he's still living and still has that same old recording machine that you made your first records on.
Yeah.
Can you remember about who had that date? Was that the Spikes Brothers?
Spike Brothers. Those are the one Manuel was telling you about, had a Dreamland, you know, we went to work for after we left the other place, shift around. They were musicians too, you know.
But they were promoters too. They had the Dreamland.
Yeah.
They ran the Dreamland.
Yeah. They bought it from some other guy after we went to this place where we played. Cadillac. The guy sold it to Spike Brothers, and we went back and worked for Spike Brothers. Manly come there and started us off, and he left.
Oh, my mother was
sick. Yeah, yeah. Well, you said you couldn't stay.
Yeah.
Well, were they connected with the Spike Brothers circus at all? Those Spike Brothers?
No.
Different people.
Obviously. And they had a record shop, music, 12th and Central.
Did you ever play with Jelly Roll out here on the coast in California?
No.
Did you ever work with Jelly?
No. I only recorded with Jelly in Chicago.
Did you ever play any other dates with Jelly or just the records?
Just records.
Just the records.
Jelly never had a band. In Chicago, he'd go around all the clubs and pick the men he wanted for recording.
Yeah.
And he'd record.
Didn't they have any recording facilities at all in New Orleans?
No.
At that time, no one in New Orleans was recording.
First time I saw a recording outfit and when I recorded for Spike Brothers in Los Angeles.
Was Fred Washington the pianist? Was he on that day?
Yeah, that's right. Fred Washington. Then Johnson.
Yeah.
Then pat his feet so loud, we got a pillar, and then we stood up on a pillar, and the pillar wouldn't do, so we got a mattress. Yeah. Then go to bed if he wasn't playing.
You just record two cuts, two numbers?
It was four. Orris Creole Trauma, Crooked Blues, and two more, because they have two girls singing, they both sing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Two singers. I can't remember that.
I have the record here someplace.
Yeah. Well, that's your little girl. What's have her to say her name, right?
What's your name? Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Tell the gentleman your name.
What's your name?
Tell him. Tell me that. That's Mike. Come on. We call her Boo for short, but her name is Babette. What is your name? She's no...
It's a dice, huh?
She no address.
She doesn't. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Shooting dice.
We got a dice game on.
On the rug, we can pick them up there. Where was we then?
Oh, we're talking about those records and you made it the Spikes Brothers and Dink and all. Dink died, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yes.
About 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, I heard. And the records went up to $90 a piece. Dr. Exner paid $90 for his Nickelman.
Yeah, those are hard to find.
And when they started going up, I heard about it. It was selling for $35 and kept going up. So I went to Spike, Rib Spike, and I said, Rib, what happened to the master, the record, the Sunshine label I recorded? You want to sell them? So I haven't got them. He said, well, we sold the house, but, and we left them in the garage, and the people threw them in the alley. And then when I told him what happened, how the record was selling, you know what people were getting for them? Boy, he didn't know what to say. But I wasn't going to tell him until I would buy them from him and get a receipt.
Didn't work, though.
No, it didn't work.
Are the Spike brothers all dead now? Both brothers dead?
Or? I know. I saw why Johnny died, the piano player. I think Rev is still living. He's around Los Angeles.
And now, Wade.
Rev had a band that recorded later for Columbia, didn't he? Was that his own band, Bill?
Rev Spike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
in Los Angeles?
I don't know where.
Must have been.
One record about 1927 or so.
Well, he's been there. Could have been Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was a Columbia recording. Mm-hmm.
Well, I asked you the other night on the phone about Wade Whaley. You think he's in San Diego? Do you? Where did you see him last?
Last time I saw him there, in 45, I was waking up at the Jade Room. Mm-hmm. McClan and Pay had to go to Seattle, Joe Dennisburg, you know?
Yeah.
And he had some business interest, so I hired Wade for a few nights, you know?
Yeah.
And he was living in a project there in Watts. And I went there and I said, we used to go to work. He was working days, you know. And his wife said, if you do work, you have to keep it quiet because you have a job in a shipyard or something. I said, what difference that make? I said, you can do 10 jobs as long as you do his work on the other job, you know.
Yeah.
So he got to be a henpeck, you know.
Yeah.
And he played until Joe came back. I haven't seen him since.
No. We haven't been able to hear anything about him. Nobody knows
no,
where he is.
No.
Have you
ever heard that he's around San Jose?
Who?
Wade.
He was in San Jose before he moved down there.
Before then.
Because his banjo just secretary of the union here, we used to play a banjo with him. He died not about 2 years ago.
Fred Forb.
I asked him about him, he said he didn't know where he was located. I don't know if he's dead or what.
Gee, is it 2 years since Forbes died?
Huh?
It doesn't seem like 2 years since Forbes died. Is it?
No, I didn't say 2 years. I said...
Well, you talked to him 2 years ago about it.
About it, yeah.
Yeah.
I was in Los Angeles when Forbes died. That's just by a little over a year.
Yeah, I was thinking about years.
I was at Beverly Cavern then when he died. He died during the strike, the cemetery strike.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
They couldn't bear him for a long time. He stayed on ice, you know.
You like it in Northern California now better than Los Angeles?
I do. I'm kind of the smog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a city than me, San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's more like New York, but still I like it better than I do New York. But most of it's smog that I hate down there. Beginning to thought I was going to have sinus, you know.
Oh, yeah.
My head would get stuffed. With a little smoke and dust. Or... That's why I haven't gone down to play that night.
Mm-hmm.
The guy at Beverly Cavern was going to stay as long as I want to go. 400 Club, too.
Yeah.
You
know?
So I feel better here.
Yeah, that's good. You like it over
there? Especially over here where I'm living here now, you know, the climate's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And rest good, and no worry.
You haven't been back to New Orleans except just to go through there?
Yeah, I went through that
on my way to
Europe and back. But I only spent a few hours there, I told you, when I went down the freight on my way to Europe. And I rented a car, my wife and I. Went out to the lake. You want to eat some nice seafood, you know.
You still have a sister living? A sister lives up in La Place?
No, she died.
Oh, she's...
She died about 4 years ago. A little over 4 years.
And John is probably...
And I have a sister in New Orleans, one in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And Johnny?
Johnny died.
Out here?
Los Angeles. He and I had a chicken farm, you know?
Yeah. I heard Johnny, but I didn't know possibly where it was.
And what I was doing when Orson Welles asked me to come play with, you know, on his show. Uh-huh. My brother died in 39.
When I first met you there.
Yeah.
Remember when I went to see you, the first time you had a saxophone in your hand, you'd been arranging something.
Yeah. I still have it.
You still use it?
Well, I have saxophone, clarinet, trumpet, and cornet, bass, valve trombone. Everyone like that.
Did you ever play valve trombone before you took up the slide?
It was my first.
First
and play trumpet too, you know.
What was your very?
Get, you know, if you say a couple of weeks, I'd be perfect on it.
Yeah.
And you're thinking the same way with valve.
Sure. What was your very first instrument?
A homemade banjo.
Homemade banjo.
I made myself. I made five instruments: banjo, mandolin, bass viol, guitar, and a. And I lead violin. We sing them up with fishing cords and different kind of wire we could get. And we sang along with it and fish rising.
Yeah.
Out in the flies.
How old were you when you moved to New Orleans? I've always wondered.
Oh, I was 21. I had to stay there until I was 21. But I used to visit New Orleans.
You used to visit. You waited until about 21 to move down.
Yeah. And when I bought my first good valve from Warren, paid $65 for it, I was blowing it at my sister's house, and Bolden happened to be passing on the sidewalk, and he heard it knocked on the door and said,
"Are
you the young man blowing that horn?" And the young man trying to blow it. He said, "Well, you sound good." He said, "I'm the king." I'm the king. I said, "King who?" Yeah, "King Bolden." Oh, I said, "How are you, Mr. Bolden? King." He said, "Would you like to play with me?" I said, "Very much so." I said, "Wait a minute." I ran back in the kitchen, my sister back. I said, "Bolden wanted me to wipe him." Boy, I was so happy. You know. She said, "No, you have to go back home and go to school. You promised your daddy you're going to stay at the end of the 21. And when it was 21, 4 o'clock in the morning, and 8 o'clock I was on the train. I've been going ever since.
How old were you when Bolden heard you?
I was about 18 then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was playing professionally, playing dances, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That would be about 18-4 then, huh?
Yeah. I had me an old valve trombone, you know. And I had so many holes in it, I used to put soap in it. It's $4 for it. And as long as the soap didn't get damp, you know, I was going, I was all right.
And you get soon damp, as done, boy, bubbles.
Bubbles, boy. Told the guy to go ahead, I'll catch up where I put some more soap. Yeah, the first guy ever blew bubble. It's pretty tough, but we had lots of fun.
And those were the days.
Not much money, but lots of fun, wasn't it, Hawk?
Oh, yeah.
No one worried about money. You wake up broke, whistling, and just happy. Now, if you wake up broke, boy, you want to cry.
Yeah.
Oh, so those guys still the same way down there?